At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The stamp, the kick, it's been blocked again! How about it? It's been blocked again! He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyree Cleveland, how about it? I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. Pop-up show, the list, trademark, etc. I am your boy, Corey.
What's up? And this is Dan.
Fresh off of a nice homecoming weekend in Gainesville. I had a good time seeing you, my guy. Beautiful vibes. Yeah.
No, great time. Great atmosphere, great weather, great environment, and ultimately the best of both worlds happens. The Gator walk out with a win over Mississippi State, which we'll talk more about next week, our next show tomorrow. Ultimately the decision comes down today that we had talked about on the show for the last week, Sunday today would be his last day. And sure enough, today was Billy Napier's last day as head coach at the University of Florida, finishing with a 22-23 overall record.
Am I mistaken? Are you the first one that kind of dropped that? First time I heard it was or seen it was on the show when you said just look out for some potential news on Sunday after the game or Billy being out of here. Yep. And then a few days after that, some you know, media personalities and writers, etc., put out a post about, you know, the likelihood of him being fired this week. A lot of opinions flew. How many boosters was at the meeting? A lot of just different innuendos and whatnot. But I think you were the first one that mentioned him being fired today. And here we are today.
Yeah, so I first heard about this on Sunday of last week, and then Monday was really solidified. And we've talked about this on the show. I'm not really in the world of breaking news. That's just not my lane. That's not a world that I like to always be in, just because I don't have all of the sources that everybody else does. So I felt like I had a pretty good source on this one, checked it with some other people, and then it all kind of started to make sense and it all started to connect. And then over the next couple of days, I think some other people picked up a little bit on some pieces of the story. And so, ultimately this was a decision that has been in the works for a while. The USF game was probably the game that really kind of solidified things, unless Florida was able to go on kind of a magical run. You lose to LSU, you lose to Miami, and you lose to Texas A&M. And at that point, it just doesn't seem like they're going to get back, in a position to be able to capitalize on the year. So I had it sourced out on Monday and tried to allude to it. And then I wasn't sure when it was going to exactly happen today. I knew it was going to happen today, and I knew it would be later than probably most people anticipated. I do know that the University of Florida wanted to get the news out maybe first, but at that point, it had already kind of trickled into the internet universe. And so I got a text at around 1:45 today that he was officially let go. They were going to have a team meeting right after that, but it makes sense. And it was time for the University of Florida to move on. And Scott Strickland put out a statement, which we'll talk a little bit more about. But again, I don't like to toot my own horn, Corey, but this is, I think, one time that I was ahead of most.
I tooted for you, bro. Pause.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was interesting. You know, I think Scott Strickland coming out and trying to put out that fire throughout the week, saying, you know, whatever falseness was around it, it's interesting that he came out to try to put that fire out. But a part of that leakage was him being let go this weekend on Sunday after the game, and that part still went through. So one of the things I'm getting from this, and I think a lot of people are, is I think the boosters have some power and say. You've been saying that for a while, Dan, but I think the boosters have some power and play in this, and they forced his hand when they leaked the information. How many boosters was at the meeting? Don't really matter. What I got from that messaging is, you know, it's some people that want to fast forward this thing and just get to a new coach, and they're going to be decision makers in this whole process, or heavily weighed decision makers, I would say.
Yeah, no, I think that this has been something that, to be honest with you, I started hearing about some of these conversations even over the summer, just about some frustration about some things that didn't happen, including hiring an offensive coordinator this offseason, that there was some frustration amongst a lot of different people, not just in the current athletic administration, but, you know, people that are on the board for the University of Florida, some other high-powered boosters and donors to the university wanted to see some change. And, you know, again, none of this is that they dislike Billy Napier as a person, right? You know, I think that there's a lot to warrant that, you know, there's a good culture and everything that was left. But at the end of the day, you just didn't win enough football games, and there was a lot of frustration. There's a lot of asks right now for money. There's a lot of asks for what the university is doing to bring football back to the forefront at the University of Florida. And I don't think it should be a surprise to anybody that's listening to this show or anybody that follows the Gators that a lot of this information came out the way that it did in the way that it showed up in the media. It was very strategic. There is people that want to make sure that you are saying things behind closed doors, that if those things get brought outside of those closed doors, that you force a hand. And not that I feel like his hand was necessarily forced or that it had to be forced, right? I think that everybody knew, and there's a lot of different people. You know, we talk a lot about Scott Strickland, but there's a lot of different people in the athletic department that are new in pretty high ranking positions at the University Athletic Association that knew that it was time to move on. And I think that that was just some jockeying by some people to make sure that that information got out there, and that ultimately the decision was made today, which makes sense timing wise.
Yeah. I mean, by a week, everything kind of lines up, but I still think had they not forced his hand, I think that leaked for real reasons. I don't know if we would not have a coach and I think it's necessary, you know, as you can see last night, bro, at that game, Gator fan base is very faithful. And, you know, you encouraged me with going to the game because I was done this year. Thank you for being consistent, man, because that was a very good experience with me and my son yesterday, you know, and then hanging with Jackson Raymer, seeing you. It's always a good time up there. But I was kind of checked out of the season, man, because it's tough, bro. But we got a very loyal fan base, and I think throw us a bone. You know, we'll see. I like that Billy G is going to be the interim head coach. I think that's dope. He's a receiver coach, so I think the ball will get, you know, spread out a little bit more, and we'll see more receiver activity and not the two tight end sets a lot. So I think it was due for the fan purposes, right? Because it was definitely getting toxic. But now that we've made that decision, is a presser's gonna come? That's what I'm looking for. Like, I seen him put out a letter. Is he gonna speak to the media at all?
I don't know if that's been announced yet, if and when Scott Strickland does that. He's not really done a ton of press conferences. I don't really even know when his last one was, to be honest with you. I haven't heard. Certainly I'll ask around. It's been a pretty busy couple of days, and I literally just walked in from Gainesville 5 minutes before we started. So I'll try to get some more information on that. But let's read Scott Strickland's statement in case you haven't seen it. It goes very, let's see. All right. So today I met with Coach Napier and informed him that a change in leadership of the Florida football program would best serve the interest of the University of Florida. On behalf of Gator Nation, I want to sincerely thank Billy and his family for their tireless commitment to the Florida Gators. Billy built a tremendous culture of accountability, et cetera. He goes on and on about how this is a results-driven business. He talks about naming Billy Gonzalez in there. You guys can read this. It's long. But I want to get to this part. It says, I will conduct this search with a high degree of confidentiality to protect the privacy of those involved. The search will focus on bringing in an elite football coach who will embody the standard that we have at the University of Florida and will continue to provide all the necessary resources for that coach's staff and the players to be successful. Anytime you're conducting a head coaching search, especially for high-level sport like football or men's basketball, you learn something. The lessons of the past experience will guide us moving forward. This is where I think it gets interesting. Across the University of Florida, there's an unwavering and uncompromising commitment to being the best at everything that we do. This includes our athletic department, as evidenced by the fact that UF is the only school to win 3 national championships in football and men's basketball. The standards and expectations for Gators football are to win national championships, not simply to compete. We exist to win. We will not settle for less. UF has never been more invested in the success of the football program. Elite facilities, robust NIL opportunities, and comprehensive support for our students, student athletes and staff than we are today. This is, I think, the final nail here. The University of Florida is a destination or a place where people come to achieve excellence. With our resources, passionate fan base, and unwavering commitment, we are determined to return Florida football to championship form. I understand and accept responsibility to deliver a football program that reflects greatness of this university, and I thank Gator Nation for their continued support. So you do hear a little bit in there of Scott Strickland understanding that they have not met that standard, and it's like, obviously, they haven't met that standard, but it does seem to me that there is a desire for him. They understand what they have, and we've talked about this on the show, how Florida is absolutely a top 10 job in the country, but understanding that, hey, maybe they haven't put themselves in the best position to be successful long-term, and I do think that this is the time that Florida does not only a very comprehensive search. Last time, they only vetted Billy Napier. That was pretty obvious, but now that I think they're going to go big game hunting, and I think that there's a whale they're going to try to land named Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, it's pretty irresponsible to just lock in on Billy. Hindsight, that's absolutely nuts. I know he bragged about it. It was a flex when he said it originally, but it looks very unprofessional just to vet one person for any job in America. Like, you should just interview multiple candidates. I don't care if it's the bad boy at Publix. But what are you hearing about the potential, you know, the coaching pool? I know Lane's at the top. You could talk about what you're hearing on that front, and then, you know, what other names are we hearing?
Yeah, I do want to address something here from my buddy Sebastian. He was asking about the transfer window. They just changed the rules literally last week. So for the 2025-2026 academic year in college football, there's going to be a single 15-day transfer window that runs from January 2nd to the 16th. A revised 15-day window for post coaching transfers now starts 5 days after a new coach is hired. So right now we're past really the time where a player can opt out for a redshirt purpose, and we no longer have the ability for them to immediately go into the transfer portal the way that it was. So that should help the Gators be able to not only announce a coach, but hopefully keep most of the staff. So
on that, right, while I am upset, because we both wanted Billy Napier fired last year, right?
Correct.
And we held these type of shows, like, anticipating him being fired. While I am, like, just disappointed we didn't fire him last year because the writing was on the wall, this year, it luckily, you're in a better position, I would say, to retain talent, bro, the way the new rules set up. So, you know, it worked out in our favor a little bit with keeping him one more year, even though we wasted a boatload of talent. Potential this year.
Yeah, no. So I do think that Florida's going to try and go for a bigger name, whether you have success in landing that person, I'm not 100% sure with anything. These are individuals. There's other things that they're going to consider making a move. I do think that Lane Kiffin, from everything that I'm hearing, is at the top of the list for the University of Florida going into their coaching search. I know that Marcus Freeman's name has been floated quite a bit. I don't think that Marcus Freeman is completely out of the running. I do think that he is very happy. And the more that I hear and the more that I talk to people, the more I believe if Notre Dame makes some changes with some of their transfer rules and who they're allowed to target in the transfer portal, that he will likely stay at Notre Dame. I think after that, some other names that you might want to get familiar with are Eli Drinkwitz, Brent Key.
Woo, that's nasty work. That's nasty work. So it's sound like Lane or Bus.
Yeah, that I truly believe that there is a large number of boosters that have rallied behind Lane Kiffin. I do think that there's been some change in the overall approach and thought. I do think bringing in some new names into this administration have changed maybe some of the perception of Lane Kiffin to Scott Strickland. And I think some of that water under the bridge, some of that stuff is water under the bridge now. And so I do think that the Gators are prepared to try to make Lane Kiffin an offer that he can't refuse. And I would not be surprised if that money is in the $13, $14 million range.
Yeah. I was on JB show on Friday night. That's the type of money I was talking as well. The list, I mean, we'll see. Is Lane who we think he is? You know, a lot of people saying that he's looking for that, you know, that to be that the position to be the next Spurrier, et cetera. Florida's his dream job. We'll find out now. Sexton was in town this past week. They also lost, which I applaud. Like, I need every loss I can get out of Ole Miss. Just to muddy the waters over there a little bit. And I know their fan base is nervous. The AD came out, said that they were trying to work on the contract similar to what Cignetti got in Indiana. So, you know, it's in the air. You know, it's in the universe. A lot of media personalities are pointing towards it. But I got to see it to believe it. It just seems too good to be true, man. I mean, out the lane, just to keep it a buck, man. Like, I just think we'll be doing this thing in another 4 years with the other names that I'm hearing.
Yeah. There's people are asking about Jeff Brohm. People are going to ask about a lot of names.
I like Brohm.
Yeah, I like Brohm too. Went to Louisville, played there, you know, is probably the first family of the city of Louisville and his family, in totality up there. That beloved person in Louisville. Do I think that Florida could throw, you know, a major bag at him? Probably. You know, and again, you just get into a discussion of, not only can you afford it, should you afford to pay somebody that kind of money? So, you know, Jeff Brohm is not a bad name to throw out there. You know, other people have asked about John Summerall. I don't think that the Gators can right now afford to hire somebody that fans are unfamiliar with. I think Kenny Dillingham, they had a big upset win over Texas Tech, pardon me, yesterday. That is a name that I really like if you start to go down that list. But I know as cliche as it sounds, and, you know, I'm going quasi-viral, I guess, on Twitter right now about the take, and they're like, well, no shit, Florida's going after Lane Kiffin. It's like, well, not only are they interested, they are willing to offer him, you know, one of the top contracts in college sports. And Florida has never been in a position to do that or desired to do that. And this might be the 1 year that they do decide to make the jump.
I mean, they say that, but I mean, they're ignoring the elephant in the room is that Lane's been flirting and trolling with the Florida fan base for a while about said job, right? So people can act like it's just some pipe dream from Florida fans and the writers, but no, I think this is real smoke and interest. I think John Summerall is the name, you know, if we were to miss on Kiffin, I think that's a name that catapults over. And this is just me, I could be wrong, but I think you look at him over a Brent Key or even Drinkwitz, in my opinion. Do I like him? Nah, I just know how, like, they rock around here a little bit, so he may fit the mold of what they would want if you miss on maybe a Kiffin, I would say.
Yeah, I would say that Eli Drinkwitz is probably a name that Gator fans should maybe get to know a little bit more. I think that that's the kind of guy that's only going to really leave for Penn State or Florida, or otherwise keep his job. Missouri pulled off another win yesterday. They're 6-1 on the year. Obviously, his personality doesn't necessarily jive with everybody, but he does win everywhere that he goes. Or everywhere that he has been. But I also think, and as much as he's probably not super high on my list, and I'm going to put out a list a little bit later today. I need some people to text me back when I put that out. But I would say that Brent Key should probably be a name that a lot of Gator fans at least are looking into.
Brent Key would be nasty work, man. I think the O-line play would be solid. I think he would recruit well at that spot and fix that. But I don't know what I'm going to get out of my offense, because I think Georgia Tech will retain the offensive coordinator to stay at Georgia Tech. So I think it will be too many question marks.
Yeah, I'm just not – you know, Clark Lee is a guy that, you know, I like, and obviously Vanderbilt had a big win yesterday over LSU. Can you convince him to leave his job at Vanderbilt? Does he want that? Or has he proven enough outside of not having Diego Pavia to be a guy that you go and drop a bag to? Florida's going to end up paying whatever coach they hire significantly more. And obviously there's going to be levels to how significantly more, but you're talking about a minimum Florida spending at least 70 some odd million dollars on their next coach. If not, you know, in the $90 to $100 million range, I expect a deal to be about 7 years, and I expect it to be somewhere in the probably $90 to $95 million. If you're going to bring over Lane Kiffin.
I know me and you talked, and I think you put a tweet out there about it, a little vague. But what type of, you know, strategy are they going to – because whatever coach they bring in, like, first of all, let me say this. I don't think, like, Lane Kiffin is going to make this decision based on money. So, like, Florida, I think Ole Miss is going to be down to pay just as much as Florida, if not try to pay even more, right? I think money's just not going to be the deciding factor. I think for Lane to get over that hump with his legacy – you know, he's football royalty. His dad, he grew up in this whole business, and I think he's trying to start painting his legacy in this new age of football guys, right? I think the decision is going to be based around that. Like, how do I take that next step and get to a natty? And I think coordinator budgets, you know, what you're willing to pay on the staff is bigger than just the salary that I'm getting for a head coach, right? How much can I give an OC? Can I give an OC $3 million? Can I give my DC $2 million? Like, what's my budget there? I think things like that is going to be a deciding factor, just overall NIL support, et cetera, et cetera. Florida's rich recruiting grounds is definitely appeasing. And he just has the cachet. Florida has the cachet and the tradition. I've never seen Ole Miss daddy, and I don't think that's something that'll happen. That don't mean he's going to choose Florida, but I just don't think it's going to be about money.
Right. Yeah, no, I think so. And, you know, what does Florida's plan look like? And if you bring on Lane Kiffin, how much of his staff, you know, could potentially go over? Right now they have the fifth highest assistant salary pool, according to ChatGPT, which could be wrong, but they're paying Pete Golding $2.55 million. Charlie Weiss Jr. is getting paid $1.65 million. They have multiple coaches making significantly more than Florida coaches. Now, that doesn't mean that Florida can't pay, that Florida won't pay. And if you're going to spend that kind of money to bring on Lane Kiffin, what is an extra couple million dollars a year? And I know that that sounds like a really stupid comment to make, because they're still talking millions of dollars. But with the way that money is flowing in, I think the excitement around a hire like him could certainly be – you know, you could raise that money, or you can find that money somewhere for Florida. One of the things that I've thought about, you know, is if you get a Lane Kiffin, is he going to bring over his whole staff? Is his whole staff going to be interested in coming over to Florida? Let's just say it's not Lane Kiffin, right? Like, let's just put that off to the side. You know, in Florida was willing to go, and, you know, they wanted to get a coach. I'm not going to name a name, because everybody's just going to be like, well, this is who his coordinator is. That's not the — let's say Florida picks a head coach. And what we've started to see a little bit more now in college football is coaches are schools going and hiring head coaches at smaller schools to come be a coordinator at the university that they're coaching at. Right. So could Florida, for instance, hire a coach and then go pay G.J. Keene at Texas State to come over. Great offensive guy, innovative. Would Florida be willing to pay $2.5-3 million for somebody that might be the opposite of what the head coach is? Right? Is that a way that if Florida doesn't get Lane Kiffin, that they're still showing commitment to being successful and really start to go game hunting like some big schools are doing right now? That could be a way that Florida, you know, starts to attack the situation as well. So I think that there's multiple strategies that if it's not Lane Kiffin, it doesn't mean it's Lane Kiffin or bust. It just means that there's also some other avenues that Florida could go to be able to spend that kind of money should it not work out, right? And you're still dealing with money. You're dealing with how long he's in the playoffs for. You're dealing with, does he want to make the move? Does he get comfortable? Does he get somebody that he can kind of rally his future behind? I just know from everything that I know that Florida wants to back up the Brinks truck for Lane Kiffin, and now, you know, the ball will almost theoretically or metaphorically be in his court.
Yeah. The only thing about that, right, and I just hearing a lot of Lane smoke, so I'm just going to, you know, side on the favor of Lane until it isn't. I'm not saying I believe it, but it's just the most smoke, you know. That's what everybody's saying. And he's been flirting with this whole situation for a while now. But the experiment that you're speaking of is just – I don't trust these guys, you know, to be able to pull that strategy and that experiment off. I do think that's a thing, but I just don't think we're in a spot where we can deal with an experiment as far as like a head coach and then going to get the high end, you know, lower level head coach to be a coordinator. I like that maybe for Lane, but I don't like that for like a Brent Key and some of these other names, bro. I just don't think they're qualified enough for where we're at right now. Right. I think we're at a very fragile spot coming off of, the Billy Napier shindig and just looking, trying to retain our roster, key players, like certain names are going to have to be intact to be able to retain some of these big time players like Vonell Brown, the third, Dallas Wilson, yeah. Yep. Even Miles DJ, Graham, yeah. Miles Graham, like the, bro, big dogs are going to be having some big bags and big checks out to guys like that. And do I think these kids want to be at UF? Yeah, right. They do, but they didn't come here to play for, you know, Brent Key, you know, after dealing with Billy, they had to deal with Billy Shenanigans as well, not just us. So they're not going to just sign up for another experiment, in my opinion. You know, the only way you retain most of this roster is if you go make a big boy splash hire like Lane. I don't know if many other names that'll keep this roster intact like that. I'm going to be honest with you. Like,
yeah, no, I 100% agree. Right. And I think that there's a lot of recruits that are hearing different things that I'm hearing from people. So I still need to source those out, and hopefully I can get some more information to you guys on what some of the recruits are hearing. I do think, and I want to put this out there, I think that Florida's going to go after Lane Kiffin. If that doesn't work out, I think what they noticed in the Billy Napier world over the last 3.5 years is that there was a lot of yes people. Right. And I think that they've realized that they need more dissension. I think that they need people that maybe aren't completely aligned together on everything, and that it's okay to butt heads, and it's okay to have a different school of thought in the leadership of the Florida football program, whether that's an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator, in what will be asked of that head coach and how much decision making they might have versus, hey, we'll let you make these decisions, but we might also make another decision. That way it's not just a bunch of yes people that are falling in line, but that they're truly trying to challenge each other to be better and not just sit back and, you know, let one person call all of the shots. I think that they're learning their lesson right now.
I see people in the comments shooting us. I'm a James Franklin fan. I wouldn't mind James Franklin if we missed on Lane Kiffin, to be honest with you. I think he fits the mold a little bit what I was talking about as far as experience. And him and Lane's record are very similar. Even in the big games that everybody keep mentioning of, they have very similar track records. So, yeah, I think James is also a guy that can retain most of this roster. You know, I think he hires very well, you know, coordinators. I think he's already done that at Penn State as far as bringing the guys in for a couple million dollars, like Manny Diaz, et cetera, you know, putting them at the coordinator spots. Even when they get hired away, he refills those spots with top-notch coordinators. So that's his mm-hmm. blueprint regardless. A lot of what we want, just the ultimate CEO. There would be some things he would have to change. This would be his third stop at Vanderbilt. You know, different. He excelled there. I thought he did good at Penn State for who Penn State was, you know, and who they are. Mm-hmm. But a stop like Florida, all these guys got to reinvent themselves at each stop. You know, yeah. That's the thing. So same thing with Lane. He would have to reinvent himself a little bit. He can't be the Lane that was at FAU and Ole Miss. Right. You know, he would have to change some things. So, yeah, if Lane is not in, I wouldn't mind James Franklin's name popping up. And I think James Franklin is the name to watch for, too, at Florida State. Being at how broke they are, you know, there's no buyout there. You know, it just works for their money. They about to cough up a lot of bread to get Mike out of there if that's the move they make. And I think, you know, a move that would make sense for Florida State would be James Franklin as well. And I think he'd do very well no matter where he lands in the state of Florida for sure. Recruiting, putting a solid team together, competent program. I don't think they'll get none of the shenanigans that was Willie Taggart or Mike Norvell. Same thing with us. I don't think we'll get any other incompetence that we've seen under McElwain or even, I would say, Billy Napier.
Yeah, yeah. A couple things. One, I think this is worth noting that this is – you're going to see a lot. You're going to hear a lot. You're going to get a lot of people's names floated around. Be careful about where those names are coming from. A lot of Jimmy Sexton clients out there are going to be in line for big raises themselves this year. So, you know, it's going to be a little quiet, I think, over the next few weeks. Don't think that these conversations haven't started already. They have been doing a lot of discussion behind the scenes. There's a lot of people that are involved in making these decisions and having these conversations and what they look like. It's not as simple as saying, hey, here's a job offer for X number of dollars per year, take it or leave it. There's a lot that goes into these contracts and a lot of semantics and behind the scenes details that are still, you know, being talked about, being worked out. You have four new leaders in the athletic department that I think are trying to put their, you know, stamp on things and how that process might look. I do think that Scott Strickland is going to be the one that is ultimately making the hire on paper, but it's not a unilateral Scott Strickland decision. There's going to be a lot of people, including people from the board of directors or the board of trustees, all the way down to the UAA board of directors, to boosters, to other individuals that will be involved. So it is going to be an exhaustive process. I do think that it's going to be much more of a process than it was with Jim McElwain, with Dan Mullen, and certainly with Billy Napier. So I do think that things are going to be a bit different. And I would say that Florida right now is a very, very attractive job. And there's a lot of people that are very interested in this job. And that should be no surprise to people that are listening. But I do think it's important to mention, you know, that Florida still has a lot of shine, even with some lackluster results over the last few years.
Alrighty.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Let's see. I want to give a couple people some shout outs for their super chat. Thanks for your support. We've got 2,300 people watching right now. So if you can hit the retweet button, if you're watching on Twitter or if you're watching on YouTube, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. We appreciate all your support. We're going to try to give you as much information as up to date as possible with this coaching search. But Anthony Beck, Corey, I need to hear it. It's time. And Billy Napier.
Get that son of a bitch out of the state. What did Trump say? What did he say?
Yeah, something like that.
This is a family show, man. I'm trying not to curse. It's Sunday, man. I was out to the nature park praying and walking, bro. I don't want to be cursing today, but fire!
Yeah.
Man, I am ecstatic, brother. I am ecstatic, man. Never happy to see any man's downfall, but the stubbornness that we got to witness, you know, the gaslighting that we just went through the last 4 years, the pump faking of, you know, is he going to hire an offensive coordinator? Isn't he, you know, like all of it, bro. It's just so much just amateur hour things that were going on, bro. And I don't want to get deep into that bag, bro, but it's a lot of things that the previous staff concerned themselves with that I just thought was just amateur hourish, you know, like you're days away from starting camp and it was just, you know, that's a different day for a different episode. We'll talk about that one day.
We're gonna do kind of a red flags episode at some point, but I think we need to get all of our stories straight before we just start shooting from the hip.
For sure. But I'm just, you know, venting a little bit, not going deep into that bag. Just it was a lot dealing with that staff, man. And we try to maintain on this show, you know, we got to keep it a beam with our audience, you know, at the same time when we're just, so our audience knows, right? When we're honest about our feelings and what's going on, and we giving our true, authentic thoughts, because that's what Stadium and Gale is based off of, right? Mm-hmm. Like giving our true, authentic thoughts, you know, and opinions about this program. There's a penalty that comes with that, you know, a loss of access, a discouragement of players coming on our platform. There's a lot that come with not being sunshine pumpers and just saying everything, you know, it's all good and. You know, so we caught some of that. We dealt with a little bit of that. So for me, you know, today is, of course, I got my team back, you know, free at last. But also, bro, it's just, you know, it feels good to be able to work freely. You know, whatever the new staff that's coming in, man, you know, we get to get our takes off and engage with the players, et cetera, bring them on our show. Maybe the new coach comes on the show, et cetera. Yeah. But just so our fans know, or the audience knows, that there's a penalty that comes with just keeping it a bean.
Yeah. No, and I don't want to say ostracized from the football program. Certainly we did a lot, but we weren't as appreciated by some of this staff. And I think some of the frustration we had from the very beginning is Dan Mullen's staff was very open, was very warm, very receptive to us. And when this staff got hired, they were the same. And we had lined up a lot of different opportunities for them to come onto the show, even so far as some of the programming, right? And some of the other things beyond just coaches. And we were shut down. We were not allowed to talk about the Gatormade program, because for some reason, Billy Napier didn't feel like it was important to get out there. We weren't allowed to talk to a variety of different people, right? And I feel like our program has always been, for the last 6.5 years, very supportive of the University of Florida, of the head coach, and has never put anybody in a precarious situation about the questions that we've asked or how we've represented them on our show. And we were turned down constantly. We would talk to individuals, they would book a time on our show, and then it'd be canceled 10 minutes before. We had an event that was for players that are maybe a little bit less recognized than the big names that go to SEC media days or talk to the media all the time. And we were told, no, they can't come. Now everybody has free choice and free will, but go ahead.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but that was one of my red flags, you know, in the preseason. Like we're Gator. When it comes to the players, everybody know what my stance is. Man, I'm pro player. If a player comes onto anything that I have, you know, it's going to be softball questions. You know, I'm going to put these kids in a very favorable position, you know, not in any situations where they got to have opinions about their coaches, anything like that. Just softball questions. How'd you get? You guys know how we interview. It's very softballish. So when we set up the Independent Gator Media Day, these are all diehard Gator. We the heartbeat, you know. 247 on three. Those guys aren't the heartbeat. We are the heartbeat. Us, Gator Dave, High Top Sports, Independent Media, we are the heartbeat. We are in the trenches every day on these Twitter screens, social media, Discord, whatever that may be, driving this thing. And we are all Gator fanatics. and we gate it first. So when we set up this gated independent media day, we're bringing on guys that aren't going to get access to SEC media day and get the same platform. So we started something that no other fan base is doing, you know, invited a bunch of guys on. It was an orchestrated stoppage of them not coming on. Like, it was the morning of, and players are calling me, canceling an hour beforehand, saying, hey, coach is saying we can't come, right? Things like that. I told the guys in the group, I said, bro, this is about to be, for coaches to be concerned with this level of shenanigans, you know, like, you're strategic about this, but you don't have an offensive coordinator. You got six plays, you're running 12 personnel, but you're locked in on stopping an independent Gator media day where we're throwing softball questions. Like, it's just amateur hour. So, yeah, we dealt with a lot of shenanigans, man. But nonetheless, we're going to pod through it regardless, bro, because we know we're going to be here longer than any other coach. Like, these coaches come and go. I'm going to be right here.
Who was it? Mark Long that said it? That I'm going to be here longer than this coach. And, you know, shout out to Mark Long. I think it's the first time I've ever said that on this show. Saw Edgar at Publix the other day.
He was I talked with him yesterday at Raymer's tailgate, man. We had a nice little chat, man.
Yeah, good. I mean, those are things, right? And, you know, Florida put together a lot of great things off the field for these guys, and that there was an opportunity for them to be highlighted, for them to be showcased. That if you want to talk about building a culture of great men and great character, and everything is great from that perspective, and then not allow those stories to be shared for fear of what, right? Especially in this day and age where this gives somebody the opportunity to get exposure for NIL opportunities, or to be able to share their story with somebody that might be willing to pay them $10,000, $50,000, whatever that might be, or how that connection might resonate with somebody to, you know, a 9-year-old. And now that 9-year-old now is somebody to look up to. Those are the things that we try to do on this show. And we were consistently shut down every single time by Billy Napier and his team. And there's nothing more frustrating than what you're trying to do is to share the story of how great being a University of Florida and a Florida Gator fan can be. And every single time you get shut down. And for a guy that struggled to build momentum, to build curry and favor with the staff or with the fan base, every opportunity you had to do goodwill was shut down.
Yeah.
The fact that he consistently got so much support and excuse making for an otherwise terrible 3.5 years at the University of Florida performance-wise, that to me is part of the most frustrating thing in the world. It's if you're winning a bunch of national championships, I get it, you don't want your team distracted. You're in a day and age where people can capitalize on their name, image, and likeness, and you shut that down. You have no connection from your football program to the average fan, and anytime that there's an opportunity, you shut that down. The only media people that you'll talk to is yourself to national media. You know, that's where a lot of the frustration came about. It's you're losing the point of what you're doing, and I hate to see somebody lose their job. I hate to see a ton of staffers that are going to lose their job. I don't feel any sorrow for Billy Napier getting $10.5 million in 30 days and $2.5 million for the next 4 years. I do feel bad for that quality control person that may not get a job in football again. This might be the end. I feel bad for a lot of people that just picked up this offseason to move the Gainesville. Now they have to pick up and move again. I feel for those people. But I don't feel bad at all for the way that we talked about the way that they've run this program. And I feel there's a bit of relief knowing that I think that the University of Florida could be represented by somebody that cares a little bit more about the fans.
Yeah, man. I think like a lot of it is just selfishness too. Like everything you're speaking of is worried about their ego and whatever we may be saying. When we don't get disrespectful and call anybody out their name and trash or, you know, anything too crazy on our show, it's usually, you know, solid, respectful criticism that comes with this thing, bro. Like, who's doing media just to lie? we come here to vent and to get our thoughts out from a fan perspective. So I thought it was selfish, you know, mm-hmm. telling a player not to go do something because of how you feel when it can help the player. I just think mm-hmm. it's total selfishness. And to see that happening right before year four, it just reminded me like that orchestrated move, right? Trying to stop them coming to me. It just felt like when they had the orchestrated move of unfollowing everybody, like the whole staff. And it wasn't just media people that they unfollowed. It was former players as well that could have easily. I just thought a lot of that was amateur hourish, because if you start unfollowing, all it takes is the right players just to say, man, this staff is crazy. They're amateur. They're unfollowing people because they got opinions, et cetera. And then you just got more terrible PR, and they just never got the fan base. Like, if you're looking at us, Gator Dave, and High Top Sports, and thinking we're guys you shouldn't send the players to, you just don't get this fan base, bro.
We're the enemy,
right? We lie for you, bro. Like, yeah. we lie for you for almost 4 years, fam. We hyped up, you know, we was positive as we can. Like, each and every one of these platforms were as positive as we can before every offseason or every season. And all we got, you know, was arrogance, lies, and gaslighting.
Yep. So that's, you know, that's where we're at, man. I think it's a new dawn for the Gators. Now, I wish Billy Gonzalez, you know, certainly the best luck. I think that you're going to have Russ Callaway calling plays. I think everything else is going to stay the same. I think the offense will be a little bit different with Billy Gonzalez at the helm and Russ Callaway calling plays. Will it be better? I don't know. You know, we'll see. They have 2 weeks to decide what that looks like and to practice and what that might mean. And we'll try to get a little bit more about what the next couple of weeks look like. It makes sense to do it during a bye week. You have 2 weeks of install rather than 1 week with the distraction. You kind of get through the distraction of it this week, and then, you know, next week, you know, is a new week. And, you know, now the news is a week old, right? They'll probably be three more coaches fired by that point in time. So maybe it's not the hottest thing on the press, but you know, it'll be interesting to see. I know a lot of people play really hard. They really appreciate, they really like Billy Gonzalez as a person. I think he deserved the opportunity. I do think Jabbar Jalouk was another name that it could have been floated around to be the interim head coach, but he of course slapped somebody, which again, that's something that we don't condone on the show. Right.
Yeah. You can't make him the head coach. That's just another blunt. This staff was wild. We got to go like a full checklist one day. We'll do that on the show. We got y'all.
I mean, the fact that you were struggling to figure out who the interim was going to be is wild in and of itself, right? That's a few options you had. We've got a bunch of super chats here, man. We really appreciate you guys. The 2,700 of you watching. So, Vance Williams a while ago said, have a deep, thorough head coaching search. Just want to go big game hunting. That's how you end up like LSU and UNC. I think Florida has been doing their due diligence for over a month now. And that's current due diligence. I think that they've done it for longer than that. It's my understanding that Florida has vetted at least six people. And that's been confirmed by three or four different people. That exact list, there's been a couple of other names that have been thrown around, but there's been at least six that have already been vetted. Anthony, just joined. What do you guys think about Jeff Brohm? Went to the Big Ten championship, wins big games, consistently love his offense. I do too. I don't know. Louisville's got a lot of money. They got a lot of horse and bourbon money up there. I think that they'll throw money at him. And I think that Jeff Brohm, being a Louisville guy, is going to probably stay in Louisville. But shout out to him.
I wouldn't mind just shaking that tree, though. I love the way Brohm calls plays. He's just very vertical. I think he developed quarterbacks well. He's never going to win. I know that's home for him, but you're not going to win a natty, you know, at Louisville. So I wouldn't mind him shaking that tree. I got on the sunglasses. I'm just tired, bro. Like, it's been a long weekend. Yeah. I'm cooked. If I take the sunglasses, I look tired. It may look like I've been, you know, doing something else, but I'm just really tired. So
yeah,
I got on sunglasses. I don't want to look inebriated, you know.
But yeah, I am actually exhausted. And it's not even that I did that much or slept that. It's just like, it was a very long, long few days. I was texting people till 12:45, 1 in the morning about this situation. And never once did I waver that he would be fired today, but there's just a lot of moving pieces and moving parts there. Let's see. Will Miles mentioned that he'll target Todd Monken and Joe Brady in his mind. What are your guys' thoughts? Which would leave more money for assistant coaching. I don't think that Florida is going to have necessarily a money issue. I don't know if either one of those guys want to come back to college football. Both are in the NFL. Todd Monken is with the Ravens, I believe. Is that right? I know Joe Brady's with the Bills. Would they leave? I don't know. Do they want to come back to college football? I don't know. You know, Joe Brady's been out of the NFL or in the NFL for the last 5 years. So,
yeah, I think you need a well-rounded guy, whoever you're bringing in. And I don't know, like, the question marks of if a guy can recruit or not just can't be one of the things. We got to know whoever we're bringing in can recruit. We just, you know, you learn your lessons, don't repeat them. We just did this with Dan Mullen, you know, great, great play caller, which I think both of those guys are great play callers, but what they can do on the recruiting trail and do they know how to build a college roster, relationships that come with it. You know, those guys go to the NFL because they don't want to recruit, you know. So I'm not with the NFL coordinator, you know, thing in my opinion. I think we need a guy with a college mindset that understands this thing as it is right now. No experiments this time, bro.
Can't do it. Let's see. Anthony Morrison also mentioned the North Texas head coach is a great play caller, QB developer. If we hire a small school coach to be offensive coordinator, Eric Morris, he's been at Washington State, Incarnate Word, and now North Texas. That would be an incredible hire if you could get him. You'd probably only get him for a year or two, but don't be surprised if his name's not thrown around with some really big jobs that are out there. So I don't even know if he's going to theoretically be available. But if Florida could get him, it would be a huge get. Thanks for your super chat. Rolling with Carlos, appreciate you. I'm going to be on his show tomorrow, so check that out. Let's see, Army Sniper. We appreciate
Super Chat's rolling in. He dropped a dub. I see you, Army Sniper. What's up with it, man? Welcome back to the
Chris.
Show.
Chris, appreciate you, Army Sniper. Man, that's appreciate the money there. And then Anthony Morrison back. Do we think we let Tramell Jones play QB?
What happened, DJ?
Yeah, I don't think so. Unless DJ is unable to go, DJ Lagway is your QB1 for a reason, and I think he's going to stay here. That's your
shot. Yeah. I don't think he's going anywhere. But I don't. Why would you play TJ, bro? Like we may actually get four wide and may do some vertical things. Now that you know, self sabotaging Billy's out the door. Like who knows what Billy G may be trying to, you know, try to get him a head coaching job somewhere else. He might go balls to the wall and let you know firing deep every play. You just never know, right?
Right.
All right, Billy G, we may get something different, but I don't think there's a reason to change the quarterback, bro. Like, I don't think, like, we was running too many curls at the sticks and people jumping that stuff, bro. If I give you the breakdown on, like, the thought process of that last play from what I was told, like, you would probably, I pulled out the last few strands of hair I had, man. I just snatched them out, bro.
Well, thank God I didn't show up and meet up with you. I might actually be bald. let's see.
Oh this guy, he had to go.
Yeah, it was time. And you gave him every opportunity. You probably gave him more opportunity than any coach that's previously been at the University of Florida has had. And I'm not exactly sure why his leash was so long. I don't understand why he got the contract that he did. I understand that you have to pay a lot of money to coaches. The fact that there's no offsetting language to me is wild. I mean, even James Franklin had offsetting language, and James Franklin had a lot more leverage than Billy Napier did. And the amount of money that we gave him, the length of the contract and everything else was just is disappointing overall. And I don't quite understand how Florida got themselves in that situation. And
here's the thing, like we say, Billy turned down the Tennessee job, the South Carolina job. No, like they just wouldn't give him all the shenanigans that Scott went and gave him, right? Yeah, he turned it down because he was asking for a lot that they weren't willing to give. So he got a lot. I one thing that you know, that long leash did give us, it makes the job attractive. We ain't got a quick trigger, right? Like you got 4 years to at an attempt where the average person with a brain knew that this wasn't going to work out the year two. Like we all kind of knew what was up. And they gave him 4 years to kind of figure it out, you know, opportunities to go hire more people, shift, change. So I think whatever coach that you know, looking for this job or interested in this job, know that. Like, you're going to get a decent leash from the people that's in charge at UF right now.
Yeah, and I don't think that the changes are going to stop here. I do think that Florida is going to make some other structural changes to the way that the football program looks at not only the general manager spot, but just the whole football operation as a whole. From what I understand, expect some other changes beyond just the head coach and the support staff and obviously the assistant coaches that are there. I don't know. It obviously depends on which coach they hire before everybody starts to ask, are they going to retain this person? Is Katie Turner going to stick around? Is this person or that person going to stick around? You don't know until you hire the next person. And so if we could just keep those questions just kind of on the back burner until the next coach gets hired. There's a lot of desire, I know, to keep Katie Turner. I know that she's well-respected in the industry. It's just all a matter of, do they want to stay with the next coach and does the next coach want to keep them? What does that look like? Each person's on different contracts.
And Katie's a package deal.
Yeah. I mean, you know, David Decker is her fiance. yeah. You know, I don't know, you know, what that looks like. So
I like the off the field, some of the off the field staff I do like, you know, and I think their position is a little different than they were one of the big reasons we were able to recruit well. So like he did have some infrastructure and some pieces in that capacity that I think you could keep in place, even if you change names. The infrastructure was working to some degree. So, yeah, I think it just matter what Lane's filling, who he's bringing from, you know, Mississippi State. If he has people in those roles that he think are good, you know, at Mississippi State, just from a relationship standpoint, he might want to side with the people he already has a relationship with. So, it's just like Dan says, a lot of just moving factors that's in play for that type of stuff.
Yeah, Sam Adams said Bree Wade. Bree works for Florida Victorious now, and her job is not in jeopardy. Smart. Yeah, she's great. I'm a big fan of a lot of the Florida Victoria staff that I've met, personality-wise, work-wise. Let's see.
She's smart for Leah.
I hope we keep the Gatormade staff. It's my understanding that the Gatormade program is now fully endowed. They have their own office at the football-only facility. They let the ops behind the scene, Corey.
Yeah, I see.
Back there. They let me back.
You were smart. You ain't post that picture till you got in the car, bro.
That's right.
Sun belt to ass if Billy would have seen you in this facility, boy.
Imagine if I would have seen sun belt belly, Jacob LaFrance, you know?
Did we keep LaFrance? Do we keep LaFrance around?
I don't think we keep LaFrance. No. I would. I hope he's packing his bag with them right now. Playing devil's advocate, Billy G runs the table. Then what? Billy G's got himself a nice opportunity to earn his spot on the next staff or to get maybe an OC job somewhere. Billy G is not going to be in consideration to be head coach at the University of Florida.
Yeah, I don't care if Billy G beat everybody by 40 points on the way out.
Yeah. Matt Walton, this is a question I'll answer on behalf of Nick. Nick is not being muzzled by the staff. Nick's role is to work with the student athletes. The student athletes committed to Billy Napier. They committed to the program. You know, Nick is in his role. You know, it just doesn't behoove him in his other role to talk as freely. And Nick knows more things than we do. Nick's role is just different. So I know that we want Nick to talk more openly, more freely. I mean, there's a reason why. You know, I think that you'll see a little bit more now, but Nick is also there, you know, for the athletes, and those athletes, you know, picked and chose to play for Billy Napier, and those are the guys that are on the field. So Nick will be back tomorrow, and Nick's great. Billy G will go work with Dan Mullen at UNLV. Maybe look more into Rhett Lashley.
I like Rhett. Rhett's on my top five, brother. I like Rhett.
There might be people looking at Rhett Lashley.
Real killer, bro. Like the play call is up there with Bron. I like both of them guys. Who is this play call wise? It's nasty. Dilly's a nice play caller. Mm-hmm. I think all these guys that we're naming, because I think Jeff recruits well for what Louisville is. They all can recruit. There's nobody really on our list that I just think flat out can't recruit. I think Drink is just weird and just not a fit for the state of Florida. And I don't know if a lot of these South Florida cats is going to really mesh well with his vibes, I would say. But outside of that, bro, like most of the people on the list, I think recruits well. Brent Key, just another one. It's a lot. It's just too many unknowns for me with Brent Key. I like him at Georgia Tech. I like him beating on my ops of Florida State of Miami like regularly, right? But I don't know if I want him coaching my team.
Yeah.
Fran Brown is trying to fight other coaches about transfer report and stuff. So, no, we can't bring Fran. He actually wanted to shoot fades.
Yeah, I don't think Fran Brown is on their list. Corey, you've been asked multiple times, maybe by the same person, where you got your hat from.
Oh, shout out to the great folks at Alma Mater, man. Like, they got some crazy drip in there, man. They actually did the Flow Factory, some stuff for me, man. Went and picked it up while I was in town. Make sure y'all run down on Brian. If y'all in town, this is a free ad read, I guess. They're right over by Publix off of, what is that, University?
University and 34th?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. By PDQ, et cetera. Like, right, okay, in that plaza. Tap in with them folks.
I think Florida's going to try. You know, somebody's mentioned Brian Hartline. I'm going to have a new list today. I think that Florida's going to go exclusively for a proven head coach and do whatever they can to drop the bag on that person. I know that there's a lot of questions about James Franklin. I haven't heard anything about James Franklin in the University of Florida. I'm not saying that that's not something that could potentially happen one day. And I know that he has very mixed, you know, reception. I think everybody has a very mixed reception, right? I mean, Lane Kiffin's record and James Franklin's record against big game or against, you know, top 25 opponents is eerily similar. They're just different, right? And so I understand that they're different types of coaches, but I've not heard anything. If I do, I will let you know. No more special teams, Matt. No more 12 personnel. No more coaching in black. We are back, baby. JD, our HD Jarhead Rider, appreciate your super chat. Cliff Kingsbury would be awesome. I think Cliff wants to stay in the NFL. And who's to blame him?
Yeah, Cliff wasn't the greatest in college. I mean, a good play caller, but there's a lot to be desired in everything else.
Yeah.
Bruh, like, what are you doing?
Let's Harlem's see.
Playing the damn dog, bro. Like, come on, man. This is a serious platform, bro. This is like ESPN for Gators, bro. You just can't be in here. Respect my setup, man. What we got, Dan?
Franklin was a fired coach. Florida's not firing a fired coach. Lane Kiffin was fired. Lane Kiffin was fired. A lot of coaches have been fired.
He's saying fired this year.
Right now?
Yeah, unemployed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but we'll see. That kind of wraps up. I mean, that's where we're at right now. Florida got the bottle of champagne. I didn't want to pop it primarily because I'm very tired and I wanted to enjoy it. We're free. It's a new time for the University of Florida, and we are going to try to be as connected and share with you that connectivity as much as possible. There are certain things that we will try to give our thoughts on. If we know, we're not just going to kind of randomly give you guys what you want to hear all the time. We're just going to try to share what we know it, when it's sourced out, and when it's truth and accurate. We don't want to lose that trust that you guys have on us to give you good information, which is why Corey and I, Nick and Jordan, even for that matter, don't break a lot of news, right? Nick used to, but we don't break a lot of news because we want to make sure that it's done right. And we want you guys to know that if you're getting information from us, that it's truthful and accurate, and we're really it was good to see the situation play out the way that it did, and hopefully we'll be able to share some good stories for you guys. What do you think is the biggest hurdle from Zero here, Super Chat? What do you think the biggest hurdle in getting Lane is?
I don't think there's no hurdle on our behalf. The hurdle in Lane himself, he just got to jump over it. I think Florida's going to provide everything possible to be able to land him. So I don't think there's going to be, oh, Florida didn't want to do this or do that. You know, I think Florida is going to open, like you said, back up the Brinks truck, resources, whatever you're asking for, I think it's going to be there. It's going to be, you know, if Lane want to leave poverty and leave a program that has never won a natty like that, you know, he's never seen it. I never seen it. And you want to come over to, you know, where your man crush coached at.
Yeah. I don't think that money, I think it's just a matter of whether he wants it or not, you know, comfort, you know, how long and, you know, how well does team do. I think that there's things that are in Lane's control. I don't think that Florida is going to have any sort of reason why Lane Kiffin wouldn't be hired should that be the direction that they go. A lot of talk about Steve Spurrier Jr., man, if his last name wasn't Spurrier and it wasn't a junior after that, you guys would not want a fired Tulsa offensive coordinator to be our head coach. If I told you that Florida hired the head coach at Western Carolina, you'd be pissed too. So like Kerwin Bell, I know that there's an obsession with him. He's not going to be the head coach at the University of Florida. So if we
think Steve Spurrier would be mad if we hired Steve Spurrier Jr.
Yeah, I agree.
what are we doing?
Can you imagine being him on Pat Dooley's show talking about his son's play calling?
Right. No, we're not. That's crazy.
Oh, man. 3,100 people watching. Man, we appreciate you guys watching. We'll be back tomorrow night. We'll talk a little bit about the game. A lot of it will probably be a little bit of rehashing of this with trying to share a little bit more. And hopefully between now and 27 hours from now, there's some more information that we can share. But we appreciate you guys rocking with us on a Sunday afternoon.
Go Gators. We are free, baby.
Next up,
lies.
It's a parody show.
We're back in business.
Oh, man, we appreciate you guys. See you at the same corner, same time. As our friend Chris Sorley said, hit that like button before you head out. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.